All right. Hello, hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Jack Hallows podcast. Today, we're not going to waste any time. We're just going to dive straight in because the internet has again gone up in arms about calorie counting. And it seems that a lot of people have a lot of different opinions. And yeah, I'm going to just weigh in on this topic because why the hell not? So if you haven't seen it already, flying around Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, everywhere at the moment, a British epidemiologist called Tim Spector was recently on the Diary of a CEO podcast with Stephen Bartlett, one of my favorite podcasts, and he spoke about how to lose weight counting calories is redundant, especially in the long term. He also spoke about how exercising is not good for weight loss, and a whole bunch of other things. But these are the two main talking points that people have taken umbrage with. And to be honest, I completely agree with everyone who's not necessarily everyone who's come for him, because people get quite rude and aggressive about all that sort of stuff, and I don't think that that's necessary. But I do agree that it's a bit of a problem to be pushing this sort of message, especially when it's clearly done to sell books about improving your gut health and your gut microbiome, because that's the, you know, best way to lose weight. And this is a big problem in the fitness industry, is that You get a lot of charlatans, but you get a lot of cowboys as well, who just kind of come out with this idea that their method is better than every other method. Their method is the one. It's the one that you've got to invest in, but you have to invest in it financially. There's no way to do this by yourself. You need them to help you. You need to buy their book. You need to buy their course. You need to go and do coaching with their team. Not with them, because they're too good to work with you. No, you need to work with their team and with their minions and let them talk to you through a special app that's going to help fix your life in the next 52 weeks. But you've got to commit to that whole 52 weeks, etc., etc., etc. And look, everyone's got an angle. Everyone's selling something. You know, I put a lot of content out there for free. I put this podcast out. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. Just joined YouTube. Just recorded my first long form video for that. But at the end of the day, I don't make my money off content creation. I make my money working with everybody out there who's listening to this that works with me one-to-one. You know, I coach people. That's my job. You know, I write programs. I give out macros. I help people with nutrition coaching. I help people with fitness coaching. I help them improve their form and get stronger. I help them lose, gain weight, whatever they want to do. I'm not a content creator. However, I like to think that I have a very balanced view of things, and I'm not out there pushing a single agenda down people's throat just to make a quick buck. And unfortunately, it's what a lot of people do in this industry. And the best way to do that is to take extremes. You know, I saw a fantastic video the other day by a guy called Mr. Beast, who is one of the most influential influencers out there. And he's got a huge following on YouTube and makes absolute bank. And he was talking about how to go viral on the internet. And he was saying, you can't just sit there and say that bananas are a really good food. You have to sit there and say, bananas are the best fucking food that you can eat for everything. They will improve your quality of life. They will improve this. They'll improve that. You have to be so outlandish in your statements to be able to stand out amongst the rest and be able to sell. And I kind of get the feeling that that's what this Tim Spector guy was doing. Whether it's intentional or unintentional is for you to decide. I have my own opinions on that. But I feel like that's what he was trying to do a little bit with the interview and with some of the responses that he gave to Stephen's questions. And I think there's a much more measured view that we can take of this discussion. So firstly, calorie counting is a tool. It's not an outcome. The outcome is weight loss, weight gain, or weight maintenance. Those are the three outcomes that you can achieve through calorie counting. Most people will use calorie counting to lose weight. Okay, that is outside of everything like bodybuilding circles and athletic circles. For the general population, that is what they will use it for. And it's got a pretty fucking good track record. You know, this whole, there's no long-term research being done. No, there's no long-term research having been done on any dietary interventions, because these studies don't run for 10, 15, 20 years. However, the plethora of data that we do have around calorie counting is pretty positive. And on top of that, the anecdote that we have, that is coaches like myself who work with real people every single day and don't just treat people like research, we see it every week. it fucking works. Does it work for everyone? No, and I'll get to that in a minute. But calorie counting does work in the short term and in the long term, okay? It's not enough to say it doesn't work at all. You can't say that because it does. You know, it's a better statement to say calorie counting can work really well for the right person in the right context who's in the right mindset and potentially working with the right coach. That's how you frame that. For people who do not fit those little categories, absolutely, it can be a nightmare. You know, I've spoken openly on this podcast before about having an eating disorder when I was younger and, you know, really suffering and really struggling with that. And it happened around the time that I actually started counting calories. I became aware of calorie intake because I became obsessed with the numbers. You know, I still count calories to this day. I actually do when I'm dieting and all that sort of stuff. I count my food intake. However, it doesn't bother me in the same way because I fixed the issues that I had with myself and I fixed the relationship that I had with myself to no longer kind of be going down that road. And this is part of the bigger problem is that it's not necessarily calorie counting that is the issue. It's potentially everything that that person has been exposed to around calorie counting and potentially their behavior and their habits towards things like numbers and towards perfectionism and all that sort of stuff as well that needs to be looked at. So for someone like that, calorie counting probably isn't the best thing to do, especially not now anyway, if they're in that kind of headspace. And what people don't take into account as well is that if you're giving someone calories and you're asking them to count calories, how are you helping them? You know, alongside giving them the calories, what are you actually doing to help them? And this is a bit of a bugbear I have with some trainers and some coaches is you don't just say to someone, I want you to hit these numbers, off you go, that's it. You know, that's not the art of coaching. That's really bad coaching. You know, you give someone these numbers and you help them through that process. You teach them the why. You teach them how to pull things back in when maybe they don't have a day where they go, you know, where they go to plan or they miss some meals or they ate over. You help them realize that that's not a problem in the long term, you know, and that it's a law of averages game because calorie counting in itself, no matter how on point you are, is not accurate. It's not. Food labels can vary and be very, very wrong. However, it's better than nothing, right? It's keeping an idea of what you've got coming in. And then you can weigh that up with what you've got going out and you can actually see, am I losing weight? Yes. Cool. Awesome. I don't need to change anything. No, I'm not. Okay. Well, then maybe I need to eat a little bit less or I need to change some of the foods that I'm eating so I have a bit more control over what I'm eating rather than just eating prepackaged stuff. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And again, this is where having a good coach or, you know, a good team to work with can really, really be of assistance, especially to the general population who have a lot more to think about. You know, if you're a parent and you've got a spouse and you've got multiple kids, you've got a job, your spouse got a job, kids got to get to school, kids play sport in the afternoons, you know, kids go to after school club as well. You don't really get that much time to yourself. It can be very difficult to do this by yourself, and you can get very flustered and very stressed very quickly if you don't have somebody there to kind of pull your head back in and keep you in check and say to you, well, it's okay. Let's maybe not worry so much about how many carbs and fats you're eating at the moment, and let's instead just look at your calorie intake and maybe keep a vague eye on your protein to make sure you're getting enough of that as well. You know, there's so much more that goes into making calorie counting effective because at the end of the day, it is just a tool. You know, it's like how a budget planner is a tool if you're looking to save money, right? If your spending has gotten out of control, you're going to need to do something to fix that. Now, some people will just sit there and go, all right, well, I'm going to cut all my expenses and they get rid of all their subscriptions and they get rid of all their, you know, extra spending that they don't really feel like they need anymore. And that works really well for them. You know, some people cut macronutrients. Some people cut entire food groups. Works really well for them. Other people who are a little bit more balanced and are like, well, I kind of like that, or I kind of like that, they'll make sacrifices. They'll create a budget planner and they'll go, I can afford X, Y, and Z in a month. And that's what I'm going to keep a hold of. The rest, I'm going to kind of let go. And that's what people do with counting calories as well. So, you know, as I said, certain tools work for certain people and don't for others. And that is okay. You're allowed to have multiple tools for the job. With the whole gut health thing as well, looking at food quality, I do think is very important. I think if you're counting calories and you're using that as an excuse to eat like shit, then you're missing the point. You know, you shouldn't be trying to factor in McDonald's every day or KFC every day or, you know, pizza every day and stuff. Like, even if you like these foods, great, but moderation, people, seriously. You know, especially if it's making such a big chunk into your carbon fat intake for the day that you're then having to eat, you know, horrible tasting bland meals for the rest of the day. Why not have a bit of balance over your food and then leave those foods as kind of sometimes foods when you sort of have a higher calorie day, or you have a day where you're like, you know what, haven't really eaten as much today, I can probably go and get this, you know, and you start to realize you don't actually miss these foods quite as much as you thought you would. You know, this, even in the podcast, there's a bit where Steven says to Tim, and he says to him, yeah, I've got a mate who always tells us about how he's counting calories, but his diet's shit and it's not really working for him and stuff. And, you know, yeah, if your diet is still, you know, objectively not great, and you're still eating a lot of highly palatable, highly processed foods, it's probably not going to work for you because you're not doing anything to really keep your portions under control, and you're not doing anything to manage satiety and stop yourself from getting hungry. So this is another thing that you've got to think of. And again, this comes down to having people in your corner who will tell you, well, this is great and all, but why don't you try eating some more veggies? Or you're telling me that you've eaten your entire calorie intake by 5 p.m. Why don't we push breakfast back a little bit and have breakfast a couple of hours later? Then you don't really need to change anything, but you'll be done eating by 8 p.m. instead. And then you won't feel as hungry in the evenings and you won't feel like you need to go and snack. You know, there's little suggestions that maybe you haven't thought of that somebody else just goes, let's try that. Let's see if that works. So yeah, it was a very long-winded way there of kind of saying that calorie counting does work for the right person and works for the majority of people, to be honest with you. It's just that for the wrong person, it can also be the wrong tool, and that is okay. There are other options that you can choose. Now, the whole exercising claim is a bit funny because, look, I've seen research and I've read research that does make a lot of sense, that does say if you're going to pick one, dietary interventions for weight loss over exercise interventions are going to be the one to pick. But it's very rare that anybody only ever does one, right? Like, you're not just going to sit there and go, all right, well, I need to lose a bit of weight, so I'm just going to start running. And I'm not going to watch anything that I eat. I'm just going to run. And I'm still going to eat like shit. You know, some people might do that to start their weight loss journey, sure, you know, as a granted. But you know, they'll lose a certain amount of weight and then they'll probably decide, okay, I need to go join a gym, or I need to start watching what I eat a little bit more, or I need to stop drinking 3 chocolate milks a day or something like that. I need to be a bit more responsible with my food choices. And that's the argument here, is that a lot of the time when people exercise and they exercise for the goal of losing weight, even though they're not burning as many calories as they think, and probably dietary restriction to a certain degree is going to be a little bit of a more effective tool, when they are exercising with the idea of getting leaner, losing weight, losing fat, etc., and that's kind of the goal in their mind, they do start paying more attention to what they're eating, because, you know, they go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning and they work out before work and they go, well, you know, I've just done all that hard work, it doesn't really make any sense to me to go and get this, you know, massive donut and frappuccino from Starbucks on my way to work. You know, I might just make some breakfast at home, or I might still go to Starbucks and I might get the egg white wrap instead because I heard somebody say that's high in protein and protein's good for you when you're working out. You know, so people do actually put two and two together with that and often come up with four. And then it's just needing a bit more direction and a bit more, you know, guidance to get them for the long term down the road. And you know, again, outlandish statements like don't exercise if you're trying to lose weight, or don't worry about exercise if you're trying to lose weight. It's just irresponsible, in my opinion, because as well, if you're really overweight, chances are, if you're really overweight and not exercising, you're not going to be that healthy. You know, your health markers probably aren't going to be the best. And I don't say that to be mean. I say that with the greatest love and the greatest care. But it's probably the case that you do need to move a bit more. And even if that is just getting steps and going for walks or riding your bike or something like that, like, swimming. You know, you just need to move a little bit more. And if you combine that with dietary interventions like counting calories, or yes, improving your food quality, or, you know, whatever you want to do, it's probably going to speed the process up a little bit, rather than just kind of saying, all right, I'm just going to start cutting out all this food and focusing on my gut microbiome. Because for fuck's sake, man, that's not simple. You know, lots of people need simple for losing body fat, and you can start complicating things down the way if you really want to, if they need it. But why not just start with small steps, like starting to be a little bit more aware of what calories are and starting to move a little bit more? I think that would help a lot more people. And I think that this whole idea of just treating people like studies and treating people like research papers is just getting taken way, way, way too far. And it's really frustrating to see. You see it in the training world with all the quote unquote optimal stuff being abused these days. Like, you know, yes, there are some people pushing optimal in a really good way, but there's also some people taking advantage of that to just treat people like papers and not realizing that everybody actually moves a little bit different. And that while certain muscles will have better leverage in certain positions, it's not always going to be the tool for the job at that specific time, because there's plenty of different tools in the toolbox. So anyway, that's my kind of just like word vomit thoughts on this whole like calorie counting and exercising thing. For me, I would rather be a little bit more precise with what I'm doing when I'm trying to lose body fat myself, and when I'm trying to help my clients lose body fat. And that's why I use calories. That's why I use protein intake. And with clients who want it, I use carb and fat intake as well, to be a little bit more precise and get things done a little bit quicker. On a similar note, I'd rather be able to move my body, feel good, make use of the endorphins that come with that, and also, you know, be able to build strength and keep my body feeling good and keep my body feeling fit and healthy, than I would just simply downing kombucha and teaspoons of extra virgin olive oil. Yeah, I think that sounds like a much more exciting approach. Catch you all next time.